Hello and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested. My name is Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
And today, I'm not going to scratch it because it will just spread that darn Sicario.
Yeah, I mean, every time it rains, like my Sicario
acts up. Yeah.
my hitman just acts up every... No.
First of all, Jim had to show me the trailer because he said, well, the sequel is... And I said... There was another one. I apparently missed the entire first one, which looked like something I would enjoy. Lots of shooting and things blow up. And I'd like to quote my oldest saying, why do they have to have love stories in movies? Can't we just have a little more action? We don't need this crap.
I don't necessarily want to push one of your children to sing a movie that's about straight up like creating like false evidence to make like drug cartels go into war with each other. And I mean, and this thing is hyper violent. Like it starts out with like a terrorist attack on like this department store and eventually leads to Josh Brolin encouraging the individual to share information with him.
I see.
So like I said, I mean, keep that in mind.
So there's no love story in this.
If it's maybe it's about a man and his love for destruction or his appetite for it, or maybe his gun or his Black Hawk helicopter. Like if that kind of love story, Jane, then yes, yes, it is a love story for our times.
Well, she would love that. Love it. Do I have to know a lot about the first one other than it's a hitman and things blow up?
No. Honestly, the writer did a good job of making sure that, like, the thing about these movies, it's not like every other film out there that these days that has to have an untied plot threads, an after credit sequence. Like that was not the first film. It wasn't just like, is there going to be a Sicario too? Like it didn't. Like honestly, I was surprised when I heard they were making a set. I wasn't mad. But, like, it's not the type of film normally that screams, like, sequel.
It's kind of like Death Wish.
Yeah.
It's like, I didn't know there needed to be a Death Wish 2.
He keeps on wishing about that death. And then 6. Like, how old is Charles Bronson now?
I know. And then they redid Death Wish, didn't they? So who knows how many Death Wishes there are.
Very self-contained. I mean, honestly, the only thing that... especially people that kind of didn't, because I mean, it wasn't one that had posters just blaring every. It did not have necessarily the advertising budget of Infinity War. Like
now,
on it.
Speaking of, at the end of this film, does Thanos snap his fingers and anyone disappear in a cloud of dust?
I know that Josh Brolin is in both of those movies, also in Deadpool, like. Yeah. I'm giving him the MVP of the summer.
That's right. He's become the Andy Serkis of people not CGI'd all the time.
I'm not going to lie. Like, I think Thanos is slightly less threatening than the character that he played in this movie. Like,
wow.
I mean, granted, like I'm going to go spoilers. He does not kill half of the universe in this movie. He does not team up with a merc with a mouth. In this movie, like I don't just full confession, like I want to get it out there. I don't want people going in to see the thinking that they're going to see something else. But it almost the way that the movie felt to me, the same way that I think you felt after watching like Goodfellas or Godfather. This is what that is to like the DEA and drug cartels. Mm-hmm. Like I don't think I'm stepping outside of my boundaries saying that Josh Brolin and Benicio del Toro would have been contemporaries with Robert De Niro and Al Pacino had they been alive in like the late 70s, like early 80s. They give these guys a lot of scenery like to chew. They give their characters a lot of things to do in the movie. They're not just standing there like quipping unmotivated. And Josh Brolin is genuinely scary in this movie.
I love saying that he is Barbara Streisand's stepson. That gives me a lot of pleasure because that's how I introduced him to the children. Hey, that
funny,
guy there?
Funny enough, a preview for The New Star is Born came on before the movie, which I was just like, because normally, like, okay, when I saw Incredibles 2, like there was a preview for The Grinch and Littlefoot. Like the one, yeah. That made sense. Those are probably similar audiences. But I was just like,
Stars,
who went into this movie just being like, did you see them Blackhawks in that preview? And they were just like, I hope Bradley Cooper remakes some Barbara Streisand, just a musical, something that's mute. What do you know?
Well, maybe. Here it is. Bradley Cooper played a sniper. That's the connection.
And somehow he's in
American
the movie.
American Sniper.
It's like how R2 appeared in like Star Trek 2009. Like somewhere in there, the American Sniper is in this film.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I'll buy it.
That's the connection.
It's the new shared universe. It's Clint Eastwood's shared universe.
Uh-huh. Oh.
I mean, honestly, I would watch a shared universe. Like, forget about that King Arthur one that cost $170 million and made like $105. Forget about the Dark Universe, which I honestly enjoyed The Mummy, but I was obviously in the minority in that. This film right here, like, there's talk of a third one. It is left open in a way. I said not expressly in the way that Marvel or DC like enjoy kind of like peppering the next one, but there's definitely possibilities, especially for Brolin and other characters in the film to continue their adventure. Adventures is not the right. This is a very serious quest or
their journey.
Journey's good.
Their journey. That seems of less violence. Their violent journey through life.
It earns its.
Tarantino violence or actually legit kind of looks real violence.
Well, Tarantino's is it's right before it gets to like the Looney Tunes.
Yes,
like it's not there. Like, but it's just it's so hyper violent that this one, like I said, it could very well be real. Like, and a lot of the situations I will guarantee you have occurred in like Mexico City or Texas or like San Antonio or Corpus Christi. I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. I might even go so far to say it might be my favorite movie I've seen this summer.
Really?
Like,
so
it just,
a lot of violence and drug cartels. Your new favorite movie?
I've talked before about me enjoy watching bank robberies. Like the movie Heat. Like,
yes.
I don't care what it's on. If they show that on Nick at Night and they had edited out like 70% of the film, I'm probably still going
to
watch
that
movie.
I have to see it. I haven't seen Heat.
It is, Michael Mann did it in, I want to say, 1996, 95.
Already I know.
Val Kilmer, Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, and it's about like a bank heist. One of them's a cop, there's a lot of narrative business going around, but like there is a bank robbery near the end of the film. Like they're like 9mm going off. They're semi-automatics. People are screaming. Every time I see that movie, I get tempted to rob a bank. I can't not watch it when it's on. I've got the Blu-ray of it. If they do the 4K, like I will buy that. I've got the old VHS like of it. It's just, it is one of those movies that, I don't know. Like maybe it's because there is actually like masculinity and testosterone like in me that like I'm not completely aware
of. Maybe
that's
just tapped into it. You know?
I don't know what it. But like I'm saying, like Heat, I can watch that any day, anytime, in any place. And like the Sicario movies, I have genuinely been impressed. Like the first one, I kind of watched on a whim. Like I think it was. Maybe it was on like Vudu, like they had discounted it that day, and I was just like, oh well, I like Brolin, and I think Emily Blunt is in the first one, and it about halfway through that movie, it's very like Hitchcockian. You are led to believe that Emily Blunt is the main character in that movie for a majority of it, but like I'm saying, like it goes psycho, not in the, as the film did, it goes psycho about in the middle. And just kind of flips what you thought was going on in this movie. Like the Taylor Sheridan, I believe, is the guy that wrote it. He did the first one. He did Hell or High Water. It's like a Western with Uzis and Blackhawks.
Okay.
Like if you replaced all those horses, like there's okay. And again, I'm trying not to ruin a lot of this. Like you want to watch it yourself. There's a scene where they're kind of these like cartel wannabes. They've got some, we'll call it information, that the cartels would find of use. And they're like, we're gonna get in good with them. So like they're just cruising down the road, like laughing, and like they just bring these two like DEA Blackhawks over like the mountain, so, like go on either side of them, land on the highway, like just open up the doors. The guys get it. Like I'm just sitting there. I lean to the person that I was watching it with and I go, at what point do you think they crapped themselves?
Yeah.
Was it when they initially saw the Blackhawk, when he had, I don't know, let's call him 12 guys get out with semi-automatic weapons and shotguns and started walking toward them? Or is it when they actually got up to their cars? I don't know. And he was right. I think he was right. He told me all of those times. It was just continuous.
So if I'm in one of those cars, if I see the helicopters land, has my car run out of gas?
No, like they are blocking it.
Oh,
they are
oh.
physically blocking.
Okay,
and
I was
going to
say,
this
would
is a Blackhawk,
skedaddle.
Jane. Basically, like they're like Humvees
in
the air.
I know, yeah. A former Blackhawk pilot. So,
if I have a bucket list or a wish list or things that I will probably never get to own or get to do, like a Blackhawk helicopter is one of those. Like, I would rather have that than a Ferrari.
All right. Well, good luck parking that.
I'm sure the gas is probably, let me say, I don't know how to drive one.
No.
I can't afford the gas on one of them. And I'm sure the maintenance is also considerable. So I probably won't have one. Mm-hmm. But
got a cool name.
Oh, man, does it.
Yeah.
Even has it. Like, it is cool itself. Like, if it was named, like, Candy Cane, like, Bubblegum. It would still be ironically named. People would just, they would still be like shaking in their boots and they would be like, I hate that they named it that. Couldn't they went with something from like Norse mythology? Anything, but bubblegum like apple, a candy apple. Why would you go with that?
But black, I wonder, much like I often wonder who names nail polishes and names of lipsticks, who names these the Blackhawks and the thises and the thats.
I have assumed that it was a combination of Tony Hawk and Stephen Hawking.
Okay.
The two of them known for their wanton violence and
I see that.
Military applications, I think. I don't know that.
It makes total sense. I'm with you.
I'm going to add that to the Wikipedia page, though, just to see if it gets edited out. I think that'll
be best. So, Sicario, the sequel.
Yes.
You don't have to have seen the first one, but do watch the first one.
Like, I mean, honestly,
what's the first one called? Just Sicario?
Sicario.
Okay.
Well, this one is Sicario Day of Soldado.
Okay.
Which is, I believe, translated as like soldier or like sentry. Mm-hmm. Sicario itself is translated as hitman. So, both of the films are exceptional. The writer in particular, like I said, Hell or High Water, I believe was also, I want to say it was up for Best Picture. He was up for Best Original Screenplay. So like the writing is top notch.
Excellent.
And it's the acting. I don't think there's a weak link in this movie. Like the direction was tight. Like I was mad when it went off.
They left some stuff unblowed up.
What do you guys?
Something else to rob.
I mean, I'm not going to have to pee for another 2 hours. Keep it going.
And that's why popcorn comes in buckets.
Like, watch this movie and tell me they did not just remarkably waste Benicio del Toro in The Last Jedi.
He was in The Last Jedi?
Yeah, he was that guy that can like fix things. He's like, well, I can.
Oh yeah,
I can fix it.
That guy.
Yes, Benicio del Toro. I'm like, how is he not a Sith Lord?
Yeah, I was wondering.
Or anything evil.
I thought for sure he was going to come back to do something more. I don't know, interesting.
And you cast Benicio del Toro. Like, go back and watch Usual Suspects. Go watch Sicario. Go watch Traffic. And you're telling me that's the role you decided was the best use of his talents.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't really have any lighthearted roles, does he?
There's not.
I mean, how could you?
There's not a movie where like he turns into a dog because he doesn't love his kids enough and what needs to spend time with. Like, there's not a Disney's Benicio del Toro's like dog dad. No, I'm gonna tell you right now.
I would watch it
right now. Like the dog, they're like, well, how does the dog shooting someone? It doesn't have opposable thumbs.
I want to see Benicio del Toro show up in an Adam Sandler Friends movie.
I will guarantee you, like, that would be interesting. Like,
interesting.
Maybe the film itself is not interesting, but that scene with del Toro,
yeah,
is going to be worth it.
It sure will. He's amazing. I wonder though. I haven't looked at his baby pictures, but it must have been tough growing up with that face because he is not. What's the word I want to use? I don't see him as a cute baby, but he is an amazing-looking man and actor. He's got great character in his face.
The stare that Eastwood used to give in like the Man with No Name trilogy, mm-hmm. that one,
yes.
the one where he's got that squinting
thing.
Stare.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would put Benicio's stare up against like classic like Sergio Leone like Clint Eastwood stare. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. But I mean, and legitimately, like to extend from that, it plays just like a Western. It's modern
awesome.
Day, but I mean, like people have got like sidearms, like they're the places that you're in feel almost lawless. Like it just,
mm-hmm.
this is not going to be a film forever. Like I said, I don't know that I would unleash this on your daughters just yet. Maybe watch the first one. I've got it if you want to borrow it.
Oh yeah.
Well, maybe do that first, like, and don't take your grandma. She probably ain't gonna be into this. But like, dads, granddads, like
teenage boys.
Yes. Oh, my 12-year-old and my 8-year-old are begging me, and I'm just like, guys, listen. And like, it even enters my head though. Like, that's the thing about it. I'm just like, well, there's not like any like. Sex or nudity.
I know. That's what I was thinking about Deadpool, too. It's like there's, I mean
there is like some explicit language.
Yeah.
In the movie. And it's definitely violent.
Yeah. I like to compare my violence and whether the girls can see it on orc pain. So they've gone through Lord of the Rings a few times. So is it more violent than orc on orc or, you know?
That's an image I didn't orc on orc.
Exactly. That's why I said
we're gonna have to take a break.
Meat's
here.
So, back on the menu,
so
boys.
So I can throw up in a trash can.
So that's why I compared it. Well, are they gonna? Maybe. Right now I'm working on a Planet of the Apes. I began with the original, and I am very happy to say that.
Skipped the Tim Burton one.
I did.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
I did. That's on the back burner. After they've seen all the others, if they want to watch it, fine. But I didn't
honestly
want that to enter in.
I would show them the Planet of the Apes TV show, and if I'm remembering correctly, the cartoon, before I did that.
Yeah.
And those are not bastions of
no
quality or really anything else.
I am thrilled that my youngest did not figure it out. So, you know, sometimes you watch a movie and you just know where it's going, or
yeah,
you have an idea. And sometimes I just watch a movie and my mind's completely blank. And it's like, because my husband always goes, well, what do you think will happen next? It's like, I'm not thinking at all. I'm just watching this. And
Jim and I really do need to start sitting together in theaters.
Yes, like, you do.
We'd just be like, and now this is about to happen. Give it, go green.
Yeah. No, green. He won't speak in theaters. That'll just tick him off.
We can put a psychic link into the other's mind.
The girls and I have got too much of an MST thing going on when we watch movies. Actually, people probably don't want to sit near us. I mean, I'll whisper, but sometimes it has to be said.
People don't want to sit next to me, but it's because I'm figuring out what's going on.
Yes.
And like, Kristen is
That's
even,
what Anna Grace
She
does.
Has commented to me several times. She's like, she's like, I love you, but I hate sitting next to you in movies because you're not wrong about
anything,
what's going
yeah
to happen. She's like, I want to be surprised. I've been surprised in 4 years because you have to think
that's right
and figure out everything that's going to happen.
Anna Grace figured out The Sixth Sense like 10 minutes into it, and I'm just, I didn't tell her she was right, but it was just,
okay.
Huh. I just ignored it. So this time, when the 1968 Planet of the Apes was showing, I said, "Don't say anything about anything, okay? Nobody." She had thought it, and then she goes.
10 minutes later.
Yeah, no, she started, and she said, "Well, I just thought that was too ridiculous. That can't be right." And Jenna got up with her eyes like, "I didn't see that coming." And that's how I saw it. I was around 10, 11, 12, something when I first saw it. And I just remember it blew my mind.
Well, the Planet of the Apes or Sixth Sense?
Planet of the Apes.
Okay. All right. Yeah. The problem with me in that ending is like I knew it.
Yeah,
at that point, because it was part of the cultural lexicon.
It wasn't at that for point. Me, because it was shown on TV. My sister said, "Hey, watch this," because oddly enough, I was not seeing it in a theater.
Like it's a lot more like people that watch, say, like Fight Club. Mm-hmm. Now you're not going to get the benefit for anybody that hasn't, I'm not going to tell you right now, but there's a twist in Fight Club, and it's one that I think I was 19 when it came out. I didn't see it. Like, and I'm, like I said, I'm pretty good at figuring out mm-hmm. what's going to happen. And came out the same year, I want to say, a Sixth Sense. People tell you the Sixth Sense had the better ending. I disagree.
We see, Fight Club's one of those movies that I feel I've seen, because I've seen so many scenes from it, and I realize I have not seen the whole thing. But I have seen commentary on Fight Club, and so I know what you're talking about. Yeah. And it was like, oh, I never picked that up at all. And now every time I see a scene, it's like, oh, that's so obvious.
Like, I don't think it connects with me necessarily the same way. Like, that movie spoke to me when I was in my late teens. Like, right. It's not, it doesn't kind of affect me in the same way that it did then now, but I can appreciate the movie for its craft mm-hmm. now still. Even because it's basically about, like, angry young people wanting, you know, justice in the world and...
And it's got great catchphrases.
Yeah. And like chiseled Brad Pitt, like, and Edward Norton, like just pummeling on each other. Like David Fincher, I have a hard time saying at the height of his craft, because I don't know that guy's just not, maybe Panic Room he wasn't on all the way on his craft.
I don't know, that was still pretty good.
I'm saying, if that's the worst, like if that's when David Fincher's not trying... I'll still take it. Like Zodiac was exceptional.
Oh, yeah.
Benjamin Button was exceptional. Social Network was fantastic. Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. That guy's just knows
good.
How to make, I mean, intense again, like much in the same way that like you probably shouldn't take your grandma with you to see this.
To Sicario. Yeah, by the way, that's what we're doing. We're reviewing Sicario. Go see it. It's highly violent, but well-written. So it's not mindless violence.
Well acted, like the production value, like is that like I said, I don't think there was a wasted bit. Like I can go back through a movie and kind of edit it in my head and go, that wasn't necessary. Why did you put that in there? Like all of the movie, it's a well made sandwich. Mm. Like it's from one of those.
I love sandwiches.
It's one of those New York deli sandwiches. Ugh. Like it just the blend of like pickle with the ham, the mustard, the mayonnaise,
toasted.
Like toasted on the proper type of bread.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
that's
yeah,
what
yeah.
this is. It's just a well made. It's a good movie.
I would really like a sandwich now.
It's like it doesn't feature like any Iron Man or Batman or Superman or.
That's okay.
There's no animated Pixar characters that show up in it. But like I said, it's just, it's a well-crafted film. And like in a summer that is, and I go and see all the superhero movies. I'm not dumping on that. I saw Incredibles. I loved Incredibles. This is just a real change of place. Like I said, like the action is real. Like the performances are very intense. I really couldn't find a lot that
excellent.
This movie did incorrectly.
And it's doing fairly well at the box office.
I think they had... predicted 12, but I want to say it came out at like 19.1 or 19.
Sicario opening weekend, it will make its money back. It took about $35 million to make. It made approximately $20 million opening,
and
so,
that's domestic.
Yeah, it's
so like,
just domestic.
It's probably already made its budget back. If you mm-hmm. like, I'll guarantee you, there's at least 10, 15 million from the other like non-domestic territories.
Yeah, that is for sure. And Tag, which we're going to see next, Tag's already made It's money. It took 28 million.
I don't want to say cheaply produced, but they're just like they're not extravagant productions.
Right. Yeah, and it's already made over 40 million. So
yeah.
So there you have it. Anyway, Sicario, go see it. Not suitable for young ones, but I guess it depends on how mature your kid takes violence as to when you decide.
If you're okay with that, I mean, it's readily available in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not over the top, but like they don't pull the camera away when somebody gets like shot in the face or something like that.
See, for me, I always found it easier to for myself and to show my kids if it's sci-fi fantasy violence. I know it's not real. Stuff like this that could be real. It took me a long time to be able to watch Saving Private Ryan because I knew how well it was. Not just because my dad fought in World War II. I mean, active combat. He wasn't at those battles, but still, he was in Italy for some time before, of course, he was captured by the Germans. But I knew that this was horrible. I knew it was so well done. It would look real.
It's not a boogeyman.
Like, yes.
It's not a dragon underneath the stairs.
It's like, harder for me emotionally to handle that because then I think, yeah, maybe a fake story, but this is real. This really happened. And it could very well have been that horrific because that opening scene in Saving Private Ryan is
most definitely, yeah.
Horrific, yet beautifully done.
Choreographed, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But horrific. And I did not see it until last year. I couldn't bring myself to watch it. And it is a superb movie. So it is harder for me to watch things like this because of that. And that's kind of where I put my kids. I've noticed if it's a movie about a family or whatever, if there's a dog involved, much like me, don't hurt the animal.
What are you doing? Yeah. Yeah.
I'm still worried about the dog at the very beginning of Gladiator. You never see it again. I'm assuming it led a happy life, that German Shepherd.
Probably. Went up to the farm.
Yes.
Down past Rome.
I was concerned that you would see like a bloody dog somewhere. You never do. But the entire movie, the first time I saw Gladiator, I'm looking for the German Shepherd. So
I made the mistake of explaining to the kid, like, you know, Freddy Krueger or Jason Voorhees, Michael Myers, any of those, like, Even as a teenager or younger, like they didn't really scare me because I had reached that point that I could kind of see the difference between fiction and reality, and I knew that somebody can't jump out of your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Like scary imagery, but like I mean, it can't happen. I was explaining to them why I thought like Silence of the Lambs was a scarier movie.
And yeah, it is.
And I said cannibals are real. Serial mm-hmm. killers are real. There are people out there like that will do these horrible things. And not thinking about it, I was just like, oh dear, I've planted that in their heads. And mm-hmm. sure enough, not 5 minutes later. So serial killers are real? And I'm just like,
ooh, yeah. What was that horrible movie with Stanley Tucci and he's the bad guy and he keeps the girls in the... and he's a neighbor.
It's the one Peter Jackson did.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
I
couldn't tell you what it's called, but it's so terrifying.
Lovely Bones.
Yes.
Lovely Bones.
Yes, it is. Because that can very well be, it's terrifying.
The thing, I think it was Tucci was talking about it like while doing average, or maybe it was on one of the commentaries. I don't remember exactly where it was. And he goes, when I got that part, initially I was very excited. He goes, and Peter Jackson had just come off King Kong. At that point, like I was very, very excited that I'd been cast in this movie, and I had been told, like my agent had been told from the casting agent, that he's perfect for this. Like we did not see anybody else in this role, and he goes, and it hit me, I'm perfect for what type of role? Like
yeah.
He's like the creepy guy that murders people, and he's like I wasn't perfect for like. The romantic lead against, mm-mm. you know, Sandra Bullock. I was perfect for this. And he goes, the job still pays. And he goes, and you know, so there's that. He goes, but to be told that you're perfect and that they could not see anyone else doing this, it bounced around in my head for a while.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lovely Bones is a well-done movie, but it will haunt you, which is why I don't ever need to see it again. Much like Deliverance. Anyway, Sicario. See it.
Check it out.
Both of them. The one in theaters, worth your money, worth full price. Is it worth full price?
I would.
Yes.
Like, honestly, if I did not have other obligations, I might have saw it twice.
Oh, and by the way, since it's new and we don't want these things to be too short, for us, our only theater choice is AMC. And they have just started a new thing, and it is for individuals only at the moment, and it's called...
The A-List.
The A-List. And the A-List, correct me if I'm wrong, it's $19.99. It's $20 a month.
But you are able to see up to three films
a week. You, one person. So it's not you and you're buying all the stuff for your family. No, you, a single person, can see.
Now, if you want to buy all of them in A-List, like, then they can see it 3-4 months. But it is just for the,
right,
basically the ID holder. Like,
correct.
I, Adam, can go see it, but I also have to have my ID. You can't just hand it off to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like your HBO login.
If you want to see three movies or one movie three times, and it more than pays for itself.
If you want to see them all in the same day. Basically, the way I broke it down, if you are going to, like, over the course of a year, like, you're going to spend, like, what is it, 20 by 20, that's almost $250.
Uh-huh.
If you were to watch one movie regular, like, not a matinee, not like a 3D, like, you just saw a regular, like, 7 o'clock movie.
That's like $14.
You will, I think it's like right around like 10 or 11. Like, if you will watch two movies a month in a 6-month period, you will pay the exact same thing.
Right.
So, I mean, like, if you're one of those people, like, my mother would not benefit from this. Like, I think the last time.
I think it was made for you.
I think the last time she was in a theater was like Back to the Future
1970?
Part 2.
Yeah.
Mine. Like, something like that. That's not the type of person that's going to benefit from this. But, like, if you've listened to this podcast, you know that, like, I watch a lot of movies. Like, mm-hmm. This way, and again, like, this covers 3D. If we had an IMAX theater here, like, it would cover that. Like, it's any, if you want to see it, the 11 o'clock showing, if you want to see the 12 noon showing, if you want to mm-hmm. go to the 7 o'clock showing, it covers all of that. You've got three films a week that you can watch. I mean, you can pay to see, if you want to pay and see five, like, mm-hmm. you know, if you
and
want to see the additional.
And it also includes the Stubbs Premiere thing, which is what I have. For $15 a year, you get all these other perks, which...
You get points for, like, watching movies, buying, like, drink, soda. Eventually, like, those points add up, and, like, you can get, like, $10 off,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you're getting...
Like, every other movie, we get either free popcorn, or maybe every three movies, we
or
get a free
ticket. Or maybe it discounts if you're still purchasing the ticket. Like, if you're a moviegoer, like, both of them are honestly... Like, it did a breakdown for me on, like, in 2017, I saved $101 on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like... I've got a big family, so, like, when we go to the movies, like, we spend a lot of money. Like,
yeah.
So my points build up fast, and, like, I've always been just a cinephile. Like, anyways,
yes.
From as long as I can remember, I've enjoyed film. And if you're telling me I can watch, like, maybe I'll go see Infinity War again. Maybe I go back and see Sicario again.
And isn't, like, that awesome? Yeah.
And I don't have to drop, you know, $7, $10, uh-huh. $12, whatever.
Or you can go on a Tuesday and you get in free and you can take one other person for $5.
On the $5 Tuesday. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So that is a new thing you might want to look into. They are going to roll out a family plan. So it'll be, I'm sure, off of the one person who's the ticket buyer and they can get whatever. But right now it's just per individual, still worth it if you see a lot of movies. So I think that is pretty cool. And that's about it. Tag is next on the horizon. And what else was after?
I believe the Mission Impossible Fallout.
Ant-Man and Wasp.
Is next
Tag,
week.
Tag, Ant-Man and Wasp, and then I think
Mission Impossible Fallout's like the end,
mm-hmm.
or near the end of the month. But
so Ant-Man, that's what we're looking at.
Ant-Man and Tag are
Yeah, those
to be
will be
the
our
next
ones. Excellent. So go see Sicario. Don't take the kids. And, oh, by the way, I did see Incredibles 2. I liked it.
But?
I don't know. I liked it. I just wasn't like, ah. Maybe I was just in it. I was really tired when I saw it.
That's possible.
And I know it was good, and it was just as good as the first one. I was just so tired. I was kind of like,
I think Pixar,
I could be napping.
In a lot of its instances, sets the bar so high that even if they only like just meet it, like the expectations are so high carrying the name Pixar.
Mm-hmm.
Like again, Incredibles 2, like if any other studio had been doing that, like they'd be just banging the drum for that. But for Pixar, that's where their bar is.
Right.
It better be that good or yeah. It better not have the name Pixar.
And it's good and you'll like it. Just don't go out and see it if you're really, really tired, because then you'll just... There was one point where I said, I could actually sleep because I am that tired. But I was going to see it on a Tuesday. It was the last thing I did.
I will do that despite.
I was going to see it on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
And but yeah, it is good. No issue. I'm not like, oh my God, my life is fulfilled. But it's a good movie. There you have it.
I'm definitely not. It was
we
not a waste.
We named our dog Jack-Jack. What do you want?
It is not a waste of 2 hours.
No, it is not a waste. Yeah. So just don't go tired. You just won't enjoy it. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, thank you for listening. As always, we deeply appreciate it. And more goodies on the way. More film talk on Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.